Good morning. How we living, beautiful people? Welcome into 104.5 The Zone. We are so pleased to have you along for the ride for the next 3 hours. 10 to 1 is when we do the damn thing. You can get involved. 615-737-1045 is how you do so. 615-737-1045 is the number that you dial. I am here. Lucas Panzeca is not here. So who is responsible for babysitting me until the end of the week? There's only one person who is as quick on the button trigger as anybody else among the production staff in this studio. It is one Jonathan Schaefer, who is tasked with not just the fastest 4 hours in radio of J. Martin Ramon, but at least 2 hours of carrying me today. Hello, Shay.
I'm glad you mentioned the 2 hours, because you are so high maintenance, it takes two producers to have to take care of you for the rest of the week.
Well, much less Lucas is supposed to be on vacation, and he's texting me about Monday's show, so it takes three.
Attaboy. Well done, Lucas.
But we're going to get through it. Shay, I appreciate you being, I don't know about willing, but being along for the ride nonetheless. We got a lot of stuff to get into today. We've got reaction from SEC Media Days. Don Davenport will join us later this hour. Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys will be here in the noon hour as well for his weekly segment. And we've got a lot of stuff to get to in between, but we start in the obvious place. My God, the Milwaukee Bucks. Imagine not liking the NBA. Imagine just for no reason. But whatever reason you choose, and if you just don't like basketball, that is the only reason I will accept for not enjoying the holy hell at the NBA Finals. Now, I understand that people don't are not necessarily in on something that takes 12 days to play 6 games, but I honestly wished the Suns would have won last night in Milwaukee to be able to get a 7th game out of this thing, because even though the Bucks put it on them, even though the Suns went out in, I mean, as sad a fashion as humanly possible after getting up 2-0, that's got to be heartbreaking for Chris Paul, and I'm sure he said as much in his post-game media availability, if in fact he was very talkative at all. I can't imagine he was. But an incredible performance, a 50-piece put on Phoenix by Giannis Antetokounmpo. This man, it is rare when we see in sports an actual manifestation of somebody who just wants it more than the other team. And if you want to get involved, 615-737-1045 is how you do so. 615-737-1045 is the number that you dial. What I witnessed last night on both ends of the floor was a player who wanted it, who wanted to win more than the other team, who wanted it for his teammates, who wanted it for his organization, and who wanted it for his city. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak, put on a performance on a knee that should have exploded 2 weeks ago, and one that I thought honestly did. I thought he tore every ligament in his knee during the Eastern Conference Finals, and for him to put on the show that he did, I will never say another word about Giannis or against Giannis again, because I have contemplated whether he was actually the best option as a number one on this team and whether he was a true number one in the NBA. I had pondered that question very often, given that he doesn't, you know, he's not supposed to have the game of Kevin Durant, but because Kevin Durant exists and Giannis has some of those same abilities, people look at him and question Giannis. Why he doesn't have a perimeter game, why he struggles from the free throw line, even though he was substantially improved throughout the course of this playoffs and continued to get better. But what he is special. What he is a star. What he is a two-time NBA MVP. He was a finals MVP last night and now a champion. He is a bona fide superstar by any stretch of the imagination. And the moment that it's not like I didn't realize it until last night. But again, we had seen the offense and really the Bucks game planning struggle with how to figure out or how to best utilize this player rather than, and I don't know, I know more went into this, but just feeling like they were rolling the ball out and letting Giannis dominate the way that he did, because he was putting up 30-plus point, 40-plus point performances prior to the NBA Finals series. But we did not see it really coalesce with his teammates in a way that I thought Phoenix was superior at. They understood their roles better with the Suns than the Bucks had to this point, and then the Bucks figured it out. Now they understand what they are able to do. Now they understand how to best make things work around Giannis. And Giannis, I don't think there's a more likable star in all of sports, particularly when you hear comments from him like last night at his postgame media availability, where he's saying, no, it meant more to do this, not by himself, but in a different situation than you see other NBA teams winning titles right now. That sound you hear at the end is him kissing the Larry O'Brien and the MVP trophy. We bleepin' did it. Giannis did it. Chris Middleton did it. Bobby Portis did it. This is not a super team. This is not LeBron James and Anthony Davis with the Lakers. This is not even Golden State prior to them adding Kevin Durant. This is a throwback in so many ways, both in the way that this man plays the game and in the way that they were able to win a championship. Now, maybe it's a bit of a fluke because we saw so many injuries to superstars in professional basketball this year that it may be difficult to replicate this, even as prolific of a player as Giannis might be, and even as they seem to have figured out the formula to make things flow around him. We bleepin' did it. That was such a cool moment. I don't think any of us, and if you disagree, 615-737-1045, I don't think anybody looked at what Giannis was able to do and the way that he reacted to the accomplishments that this team, this franchise, this organization were able to put together en route to an NBA championship. Their first, as you heard in Schaefer's update, in 50 years. Nobody, no one among us was not happy for Giannis Antetokounmpo last night. The more times I say it, Schaefer, the more times I'm liable to screw up. I got confident when I rattled it off effectively the first time, and now I'm all over the place.
What you learn in this industry is you just say it really fast.
It's just, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Just act like I'm coughing into the microphone.
A cough usually helps.
It works. 615-737-1045. When we come back, though, I want to talk about superstars in Nashville. Bona fide superstar players in Nashville. Because I put this out on Twitter last night after the game was won about, you know, find me a more likable superstar across sports, in any sports, collegiate or pro, that is more likable than Giannis. And I got a lot of love, naturally, because I'm my following on social media tends to be tight and skewed. Got a lot of love for Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and certainly Julio Jones, who is yet to play a snap for this team, but is a superstar by any measure of the imagination. So the question that I put for you on the poll, and the one that I'm asking you now, is who is a bona fide superstar in Nashville sports? Because I think there are several candidates that are worthy. We'll get into it on the other side. Don Davenport will join us later in this hour as well, and we'll talk SEC Media Days. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. So normally I would say that if you like the music, you can go check out the Buck Rising Show playlist on Spotify that Lucas Panzeca puts together for all of the good people who want to vibe along with us. But today it is a different man behind the wheel. It is Jonathan Schaefer. Schaefer, however, puts out the J. Martin Ramon playlist on their Twitter account, at J. Martin. And Ramon is where you can follow them. And maybe even a little Julio Jones vibe as well. We'll talk about Julio Jones right now, in fact, because the question that we've asked you coming off of this Giannis conversation is, who are the bona fide superstars in Nashville sports? What you got, Schaefer?
Bona fide superstars in Nashville sports?
Well, you were giving me a signal that you had something. I did not necessarily want to pigeonhole you, but you can. What were you going to say?
Julio Jones.
I think that is top of the list. No, but I'm getting people who are disagreeing with me on social media. I'm shocked by that.
He's an even bigger superstar than Derrick Henry.
No, there's no doubt.
It's not even close.
No, and listen, that does not diminish what Derrick Henry is. But I'm seeing, so we put this to a poll on Twitter, and I gave you four options just because, you know, they're the four biggest names in pro sports in Nashville right now. Derrick Henry, Philip Forsberg, Julio Jones, and Roman Yossi. Now, I got some pushback on the idea that there are bigger, that the two Preds players are bigger superstars than, say, A.J. Brown, Ryan Tannehill. Maybe so, just given the scale of the NFL next to the NHL. But I do think that there's an argument to be made for both of those Preds players as legitimate superstars in their respective sports. But what, so our friend Ballin at Ballin K. Ali writes on Twitter, in their respective sports, both Derrick Henry and Roman Yossi are Nashville superstars. Walker Zimmerman, of course, of Nashville SC, should be considered as well. Julio has to at least play a season in Nashville before we consider him a Nashville superstar. Hell no. What are you talking about? This is one of the greatest wide receivers in the last decade. This is the most famous NFL player to wear a Titans uniform since Eddie George. Certainly in the last 15 years of Titans football. I can't imagine there's been anyone, and even the most loyal of Titans fans, who would cape up for, I mean, who? You're going to come at me with Kendall Wright? Are you going to talk to me about Jake Locker? Who is a bigger star than Julio Jones in the last 15 years of this franchise? Players on this team included. They don't exist. 615-737-1045 is how you weigh in on the conversation, if you so choose. 615-737-1045. Let's start with Gavin in Nashville, who wants to talk about bona fide Nashville superstars. What's up, Gavin?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Love the show.
Thank you.
I got to go with Pecorine. I mean, that guy has truly done something for the Predators organization, and just what the heat that he brought to Nashville and the consistency that he brought day in and day out is definitely puts him up there at the top of the list, in my opinion.
Oh, I don't think there's a doubt about that, Gavin, but what I would say to you is Pecorine is now a retired Nashville athlete, so I'm going with active Nashville athletes, if that makes any sense.
Okay. Then, yes, definitely Philip Forsberg and Roman Yossi with the Preds, and I agree with y'all on the Julio deal. I think, you know, like you said, he's the greatest wide receiver of this decade, and we're very lucky to have him, and I'm looking forward to see what he does this year.
Thanks for the call, Gavin. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. Chris Adams tweets us, Randy Moss played for the Titans. Was he a Nashville superstar? Hell yes. Hell yes. Now, understanding that Randy Moss's superstardom was not at its peak here in Nashville. And in fact, I'm pretty sure, wasn't he on that 49ers team that went to the Super Bowl with Kaepernick that the Ravens won? I'm pretty sure Randy Moss was on that team even after his career with the Titans came to an end. But yes, Randy Moss is a massive superstar. He's one of the most, not just in the last decade as Julio Jones is, in NFL history. There are few greater wide receivers, players of that position, a Pro Football Hall of Famer than Randy Moss. So whether he performed at the level that you would normally associate with his name here in Tennessee, Randy Moss was absolutely a bona fide superstar when he was here with the Titans. Now, he did not perform that way, so I understand why there would be some pushback. But if you're talking about name, brand, association, star power, who you see on commercials, endorsement deals, guys who are considered just transcendent players in their sport, Randy Moss, even as a Titan, his name carried that kind of weight. It's why he's still on national television. Why he is one of the NFL pundits, whether you respect his opinions on the NFL or not, he is somebody who continues to be at the highest levels, one of the most high-profile players in the history of the game. 615-737-1045. Corey has called in. He wants to disagree. Go ahead, Corey. What's up?
Well, someone just brought up the point that I was fixing to make, which was with Randy Moss, but I have to disagree with you, Buck. I really think that if we're talking about from the aspect of, like, Nashville sports itself, Randy Moss didn't do anything here.
Oh, no. Listen, I'm talking about, for the purposes of today, the question that I posed are active athletes in Nashville. So Julio, Derrick, Forsberg, Yossi, all active athletes. And I'm just saying, in terms of Randy Moss, Like, Randy Moss was a superstar, even if his play on the field did not connote superstar. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you one quick question.
Sure.
Say Julio Jones tears his ACL or because I don't want that to happen.
Yes.
Say he tears his ACL or tears his Achilles before the season even starts. Are we still having that conversation?
You know, and it's a good question, Corey. Of course, God forbid that anything happened to any of these guys. We wish injury on no one. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. If Julio Jones was to not make it to week one, if something, God forbid, happens to him in training camp, Julio Jones would still be among one of the highest-selling jerseys as a Tennessee Titan on the Titans roster this year. Think of the way we freaked out about Julio Jones, and I don't just mean we the media, even though we the media did freak out about the acquisition of Julio Jones because we knew what it meant. A.J. Brown himself on TikTok speaking to that effect.
Julio!
You know what I'm saying? Like, the entire NFL stopped in its tracks this offseason to talk about Julio Jones, to talk about the Tennessee Titans. If he does not play a snap for this team, this is not something that anybody wishes, of course, but if he does not play a snap for this team, he is still one of the biggest athletes to ever put on a Titans uniform, even if it just ends up in being practiced. Now, of course, that we hope is not the case for a great many reasons, mostly because I want to watch Julio. You guys want to watch Julio. Nobody is more excited about Julio Jones than people who love football here in Tennessee, and that is all of us listening to this radio station and all of us in the assembled Titans media. We all want to see Julio Jones play for this team because this offense, if things go correctly and if health is maintained, is going to be one of the best in football. There is no disputing that. Now, one of the good cousins from J. Martin Ramon, Cousin Andrew, because apparently, have you guys on J. Martin Ramon, Schaefer, have you asked people to change their Twitter handles, or are they just doing this?
At first we asked, and then they started doing it on their own volition.
Interesting. So Cousin Andrew.
We're kind of popular there, Buck.
So I hear. And it's, well, you know, again, I love all three of you for different reasons.
All platonic.
Even you. Cousin Andrew writes, the question suggests you're asking Nashville from day one star, not star that came to Nashville from another team. Yeah, I mean, I was not expecting this many. For God's sakes, we can't have nuance in any conversation.
See?
But this is the conversation that people want to have nuance about. This is unbelievable.
Sam's going after you.
I guess. So, Andrew says, the question suggests you're asking Nashville from day one star, not star that came to Nashville from another team. Nashville made Derrick Henry. Nashville athlete, period, Julio Jones. This is the place that we find nuance. Unbelievable. 615-737-1045. There is... I mean, if you talk about accolades, if you talk about guys who are going to go into, I mean, Julio Jones, is anybody going to sit here and tell me, since we had this conversation earlier in the week about Delanie Walker, who has aspirations to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, whether they're realistic or not.
Especially if he pays for a ticket.
Oh. So, if Delanie Walker fancies himself a Pro Football Hall of Famer, would we not all say today that among the current active NFL wide receivers that Julio Jones is the best possible candidate to one day be a Hall of Famer? If in fact, you know, I mean, I know there's going to be a logjam at that position. There already is, given the way that the offenses are changing, the way the passing numbers are going up to reflect that. But I would say to you that Julio Jones is as close to a surefire Hall of Famer as you have on the Tennessee Titans today. Derrick Henry is building that resume. A 2,000-yard season and all of the things, being a back-to-back rushing champion, being the kind of player that Derrick Henry is and projects to be, assuming that he continues his career with the Titans. Now, maybe that's not a safe assumption, but Derrick Henry looks to be sustainable in ways that others at his position are not. Derrick Henry is currently building the resume. The person who has brought his resume to Nashville is Julio Jones. And this is not to, there is always going to be an elevated view of the NFL players over, for example, the NHL players, the Preds players versus the Titans players here in Tennessee because of how much more people consume football as opposed to hockey. But there should be, I mean, there should be no disrespecting Roman Josi in this conversation. Because you want to talk about Nashville-made superstars. Roman Josi is one of them. NFL players will always be held in higher esteem. Yes, I'm not saying that at all. I myself hold NFL athletes in higher esteem. But Roman Josi just won the Norris Trophy not that long ago. Roman Josi is the captain of the Nashville Predators, somebody who has come up through this organization and is a bona fide superstar. There should be no disrespect, even though the poll question will bring about disrespect. And of course, you know, they have petty on J. Martin Ramon. We often traffic in the disrespect on this particular show. But Roman Josi is somebody who should not be slighted in this way. Now, we're talking about superstars in Nashville because of what Giannis is. Now, if we're going through the purview of Giannis, Giannis is a Milwaukee-made superstar. He chose to accept a Supermax contract, not solely because of how much more money he could make on a Supermax contract in the NBA, but because he was committed to winning a championship there. Julio is ring-chasing. So it is a different conversation if you're trying to draw parallels between those two, of course. But if you're talking about Nashville-made superstars, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, we think projects to be. A.J. Brown may be on ESPN's top 10 list of wide receivers in the NFL right now. I think that we have to see, and I think by A.J. Brown's own admission, he would say that he has more work to do to be considered among the superstars in his sport. Roman Josi and Derrick Henry are the two best and brightest Nashville-made superstars because they have committed to these teams, the Preds and the Titans, for the long-term future. They have aspirations, one of them playing in a Stanley Cup final, the other, you know, getting one game away from the Super Bowl in 2019 in an AFC championship appearance and being the sole cause, not the sole cause, because Ryan Tannehill did have to do some work. You cannot discount Corey Davis, Khalif Raymond, Jonnu Smith on that Titans playoff run. And the defense in 2019, a substantially different unit than the one that we saw in 2020. But the defense should not be discounted on that 2019 run as well, but nobody could dispute that it was Derrick Henry that physically and literally carried the Tennessee Titans to 2019 championship aspirations, even if they did not achieve their ultimate goal. Homegrown athletes, homegrown superstar athletes who engender themselves to you all as fans. Derrick Henry and Roman Josi fit that bill better than anybody else that you could name. But if we are talking about the biggest and the brightest, Julio Jones wins this running away. 615-737-1045. Now, I've got some Nashville SC people chirping at me in the comments, in my Twitter mentions, like the Assembly Nashville, who writes, Hanny Mukhtar is missing here. Now, Schaefer was at this three-goal performance, the fastest hat trick in MLS history on Saturday. I was there as well. Schaefer, would we consider, I mean, MLS is a different caliber of sport, even though it is considered a professional sport. Is Hanny Mukhtar the greatest of the Nashville SC stars?
Well, but then again, you get cut into nuance because Walker Zimmerman is, to me, in terms of the biggest star, but he was brought over from LA Galaxy, so he's not technically a homegrown guy.
Well, I'm not. I think we got too bogged down in the homegrown versus star. I'm talking about star athletes.
No, it's still Zimmerman.
Because he was just a captain for the national team.
He's playing on the national team. Yeah. Captained them.
So, you know, recency bias. People are chirping at me, Hanny Mukhtar.
And I'm as big of a Hanny Mukhtar fan as anyone, but it's Walker Zimmerman.
So Walker Zimmerman, if we are going to consider the Nashville SC players in this conversation as well, perhaps I should have, just in fairness, put his name on that list. But, are we going to argue that Forsberg is not a bigger star than Walker Zimmerman?
Oh, he absolutely is. Yeah.
Okay.
Because you're going to hold the NHL to a higher esteem to MLS, much as you did with NFL over everything else.
Yeah. There are layers to this conversation. Now, people keep sending me Hanny Mukhtar gifts. There's a lot of love. Now, GPR Guru says on Twitter, Brett Kern, fan myself. Listen, the MV punter is a star in his own right. He is a weapon. You saw how much you would miss him if anything was and did happen to Brett Kern. Respectfully towards the punter whose name escapes me that was driving for UPS, I think the week before the Titans brought him in. It wasn't Trevor
Daniel. His name was...
yeah, okay, that guy. I think Trevor Daniel. I don't remember. It was a fairly forgettable tenure with the Tennessee Titans. Yeah, not forgettable because he cost him that Thursday Night Football game.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
Not great. Not great, Bob. But Brett Kern...
Not great, Bob.
Oh, Schaefer's got sound for everything. How can I get Lucas to be better about that, Schaefer? What am I going to have to do? Because he does a great job. But I do appreciate your quickness on the ones and twos back there.
Yeah, I also have 18 years more of experience than he does. So,
well, not to age you.
Yeah, well, I'm old. I don't care. I've got gray hair. He'll catch up. He'll be all right.
Casey on YouTube says, give me Delanie Walker as the most famous. Well, certainly here lately. And listen, Delanie Walker would have fit this bill. Delanie Walker, whether you know him because of fantasy football, if you are not a Titans fan, whether you recognize him as the best free agent signing in the history of the franchise, I would make that argument and I don't think it would be that difficult at all. Maybe Julio now, but Julio wasn't a free agent.
But what about Taylor Lewan because of the popularity of the podcast?
So Barstool helps this massively for whatever I think about Barstool, and I do have some reservations about who Taylor Lewan and Will Compton work for. And Will Compton will join us in the noon hour. And I'm not one of these people who's pissed off at the Nashville Predators because they invited Dave Portnoy to a hockey game. Like, I'm not that, all right? But I do, you know, going back to, like, early Barstool, there is some questionable behavior. Now, everybody can learn and everybody can grow, of course. And I have myself made terrible, terrible mistakes in behavior on social media that, thank God, the internet has scrubbed clean.
Oh, we've got pictures.
Yeah, well...
One involved a camel.
That's a different. Well, you know, I mean, that I'm proud of. That I have no shame about. That is, I think I'm going back on the Titans bye week, which makes me excited. I think I'm going to get to go to Egypt for not vacation, but to go see.
That's right. I chipped in on that, actually. So I'm glad you're going out to Egypt.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. But coming up next. There's been a lot of conversation. I mean, it is called talking season for a reason. SEC Media Days, R3HL, is down there right now. They have been putting out great content, great interviews. And Dawn Davenport, who has become our daily SEC Media Days correspondent, will join us coming up next. We'll react to what Josh Heupel had to say. Clark Lee is at the podium right now for those Vanderbilt fans out there who don't think we talk about them at all.
All five of them.
And we don't. 615-737 1045. Dawn Davenport on the other side. I'm Buck Rising. This is 1045 The Zone. So we await Dawn Davenport down there in Hoover, Alabama, covering SEC Media Days with 3HL. I know they've had a bunch of great interviews. And if you missed any of them on the radio show yesterday, you can check them out on 3HL's podcast. I'm just looking at a couple of them right now. Velus Jones Jr., the Tennessee wide receiver, was on with them. Josh Heupel, of course, head coach. Alante Taylor. And they have a bunch more great interviews that they are providing for you from 3 to 6 later this afternoon. Now, Schaefer says that Dawn is still absent, so we will track her down. Because I know she has an appointment, but she has to be over at that table at 11, Schaefer. So this is why I did this for Dawn. This is what I get for being nice. It's what I get for doing nice things. No respect. Now, speaking of, we've been talking about Giannis a lot today, given that the Bucks won the NBA title last night. He was on Instagram Live this morning. He just ordered so he put up 50 points last night. 50 points among the rest of his stat line. And apparently he was just on IG Live, Instagram Live, just ordered 50 Chick-fil-A minis on Instagram Live to commemorate his 50 piece. Could you eat 50 chicken minis from Chick-fil-A?
Back in the day, I could have done that.
Like, how far back in the day? Because, like, I mean, your back in the day is different from my back in the day, and I don't think I could do that without chemical enhancement.
I'm 40, so I'd say probably 5 years ago.
Like, but sober, no way, right? Like,
you can't... Oh, it would have to be sober. Absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No.
I set my mind to it.
I don't think that's humanly possible.
Mm-hmm. 5 years ago? Sure.
This is why sports radio looks the way that it does. But fortunately for Dawn Davenport, she doesn't look like the rest of sports radio.
Thank God
she's not an overweight white male. Hello, Dawn. How are you?
Well, hi, boys. How's it going? Hey, I could down 50 chicken minis. I'm just saying.
Could you? Today. Back could you do this day? Today? No, back in the day. Out of here, back in the day.
No, well, I could do it pregnant, and I could do it back in my volleyball playing days. I was a little bit of a hoss.
Your words, not mine. Dawn Davenport here with us from live from Hoover, Alabama, where they are getting all kinds of great content for the people on 3HL. And Dawn, what do you have prepared for the people later this afternoon before we get into your reaction from Josh Heupel?
Well, what do we have prepared? We got a couple of things. We are going to visit with some of those that, you know, it's talking season, some of those that are the best at talking SEC football. Peter Burns is going to join us from SEC Network, and Greg Sankey is going to join us as well. Yes, the commissioner of the SEC. He will be with us on 3HL at 4 o'clock. And then Coach Lee, Clark Lee, Vanderbilt, they are up today, which, by the way, he's looking very dapper in his attire choice today. So we will also visit with him and Davion Davis, who is a defensive lineman for the Vandy Commodores. I think going to be a stud this year. I think this is his breakout year, junior. So we'll visit with him as well. So that's just a couple things. And you never know when you're on Radio Row here in Hoover. You just never know who's going to stop by and hop on.
Indeed. I'm looking at Clark Lee right now. I've got the SEC Network on in the studio. His swag, there is swag, but it is a little different than Derek Mason. Derek Mason, I think, took pride in the opportunity to get in front of the cameras. So it's a little different style. A little different.
It's different, but it's not quiet. It's not quiet. It's like a cream-colored and navy blazer. Like, it's definitely not quiet. It looks good.
I think I'm going to take some fashion choice advice from Clark Lee. He looks pretty sharp up there. I don't know if I could rock that.
I guarantee you he doesn't wear as short of shorts as you do. Well, guaranteed.
Few people do, Dawn. That's why it's like Game of Thrones. There are no men like me, only me.
Oh, Lord.
All right. So we had the reaction from, we had Josh Heupel at the podium yesterday. I know 3HL had full reaction, and you guys had some great interviews with Josh Heupel among some of the Tennessee players that were able to join you. But your biggest takeaway from Josh Heupel at SEC Media Days, because I know, Dawn, that there's nothing today that is going to affect, or this week that is going to affect, wins and losses. But what did you need to learn from Heupel, and did he satisfy the questions that you needed answers to?
I think I wanted to hear how he would react to the what does success look like for this Tennessee football program this year. Because let's be honest, they have a depth issue at almost every position on that football team. And to be successful in the SEC, you can have zero depth issues, right?
Right.
So I think we know that Tennessee fans have to be patient. I was curious to see how he would respond to those questions because in day one, I had talked to Shane Beamer, and this was when he was done for the day and he was about to leave, so it was just kind of a casual, like, not off the record, but casual conversation, and I just asked, like, his first ever SEC Media Days. I'm like, so, you know, what kind of stood out to you, what surprised you, all of that. And he's like, well, same questions over and over. But he said, you know, I knew I was going to get the question. He said, but, you know, it kind of hit me. And he said, you know, the what does success look like for you guys this season? And that is the question that you get when you are Clark Lee, when you're Shane Beamer, when you're Josh Heupel at Tennessee, when everybody kind of knows what that roster looks like. So I was curious to see his response to that, and I thought that he tempered expectations a little bit in his response while still building up his guys and what he has. But he was very much, and it sounds coaching cliche, I get it, but he was very much in a, hey, look, we can't focus on the end result right now. Like, there's way too much to do to sit here and say, okay, success for us looks like 6 wins and maybe, you know, well, if there's no postseason ban, who freaking knows if the NCAA is ever going to, you know, decide what that looks like.
I mean, the last time they had something like this, it was in the 80s, and they told them 3 days before their first game. So I think that's kind of the expectation everybody's going into.
I mean, hey, on a complete side note, Greg Sankey, and we'll ask him about it today, he addressed the NCAA and their investigations and how long they take. He was like, we have got to have decisions in a timely manner. So he addressed that on day one of SEC Media Days. But anyway, so back to Josh Heupel. I thought he tempered expectations it was well done, if that makes sense. Now, I also will say this. He was very different, I felt, on the podium than he was sitting here with us. He was super relaxed with us. He sat with us for 20 minutes. He was laid back in his chair, like answered very conversational. You saw the personality out of him. That was not on display on the podium, right? I felt like we kind of got like a different view of Josh Heupel and where he feels like the team is in the 20 minutes that we got to sit and chat with him face to face.
Well, and Lucas was spitting with rage yesterday because he was so much better on the SEC network than he was during his media availability at the podium as well. And I heard that comfort level with you guys. I mean, it's a different dynamic, of course. You're sitting up in front of a room full of people. You got lights in your face. It's a much more formal setting than radio interviews or hanging out on TV with Joe Tess. Like, I get why he is like that. So from your standpoint, though, Dawn, and I want to talk a little bit about Vanderbilt since they are up today as well. I mean, Tennessee, when you look at them and you see the projections from places like ESPN's Football Power Index, where they're talking about 6.6 wins, is that at all feasible? Like, what is a reasonable expectation for this team?
I have no clue.
Yeah.
Like, when I tell you I have no clue because I don't know quarterback-wise what they really have. Now, I will say this. I feel like Josh Heupel is comfortable with what he has at that position. With what he's seen, I think he's comfortable with what he has. I don't know who, but I think he feels like he can have success in his offense with the playmakers that he has offensively, right?
Right.
I think that. Now, defensively, that's a complete different ballgame. Who knows? And I talked about the depth earlier. And so I don't know. I really can't sit here and say. No, I think once fall camp starts, you know, and we kind of can see a little bit more and hear a little bit more, maybe we'll get more of an idea of what's going on there. But I did ask Heupel, and if you missed it, you can always go back 1045thezone.com, though. I asked him about his offense, like how hard as a quarterback is it to be great in your offense, which, of course, he's like, well, there's different levels of greatness, right? To master his offense and what he likes to do, he was like, it's extremely difficult because people don't realize how much we put on our quarterback. It's not just a, hey, go fast, guys open, throw him the ball, right?
Right.
There's so much more. And I know that that's simplifying it to like a ridiculous degree, but you see what I'm saying. He pointed out and talked a lot about how much they put on their quarterback and how important that guy is in decision-making for what they want to do offensively. So I think a lot of it is going to hinge on that.
Well, and he's got the buy-in of players like Velus Jones Jr. who said he can't wait to get out on the field and play for somebody like Josh Heupel. He seems to really, really relish the opportunity because he knows what kind of numbers you can put up in a Josh Heupel offense if you're a wide receiver.
Right? He's like, we asked him about it, and all you saw was just like the biggest smile ever. Like, he's so excited. Hey, I will say that this also stood out to me about Heupel's conversation, and I know we always talk about culture change and blah blah blah, but I think that maybe a lot of us overlooked, and I'm guilty of it because I worked several Tennessee games last year and felt it, but didn't realize it was to this degree of how down and bad that culture kind of was in that last regime. And I feel like you hear it from the players, not dogging the last coaching staff, but basically saying like, hey, it's very different now. It feels different. Like after a practice, you know, we sit in the locker room and hang out for like an hour. Yeah. That was never done before. But it's small stuff like that that you pick up on, and you listen to Josh Heupel and you hear some of the things that he says about like building kind of the relationships and all of that within the program. I think that was missing the last couple of years, and it feels like it's back.
Don Davenport of 3HL here with us on 104.5 The Zone. All right, 30 seconds or less, Don. Can Vanderbilt win a game after going winless for the first time in program history this year?
Woo, going to be tough. Going to be tough, and that is not a knock on Clark Lee, but, man, the cupboard is bare, and there's a lot of building to do.
She is Dawn Davenport. Check her out from 3 to 6 on 3HL. They're doing great work down there in Hoover, Alabama, with all of the SEC Media Days coverage. Thank you, Dawn.
Love you, Buck.
Love you, too. All right. When we come back, we are going to get into some of the stuff from SEC Media Days as well, but most importantly, and maybe this will come up because it's time for the dumbest thing in sports this week.
Yeah.
We will also have the ability, if you give us, and I will tell you how you can do this, we will tell you how you can win tickets to Nashville SC's next match. Stick around. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.